How long has it been since we've forgotten something? How many hours, how many days has it been since we forgot where we put our keys, or where we put our purse, or where we located our wallet, or maybe our cell phone? Can we remember scheduling an appointment, and then afterwards remembering that on that particular day something was already scheduled, and we had to go back and say we need to make a different appointment? One common human frailty is a failure to remember some things. Now, that being the case, it ought not to surprise us that when we look at the Bible, there are some passages, there are several passages, old and new, which talk about remembering some things. You see, we find even in the book of Exodus, as it was time for the Hebrew people to depart Egyptian bondage, God told his people, "I want you to remember." We've been asked to turn to Exodus chapter 13. I gave Steve that little memory tip, and hopefully you found the 13th chapter of Exodus. Not that it's really unlucky, but just kind of a way to remind us this is where we want to be. Starting with Exodus chapter 13, looking at verses 1 through 3. "And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever, whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." And then in verse 3, "Moses speaking for God said unto the people, Remember," there's our word, "you remember this day in which he came out from Egypt, out from the house of bondage, for by strength of hand Jehovah brought you out from this place. There should be no leavened bread be eaten." Tonight, as I mentioned, we want to think about the topic. We want to consider the subject of remembering things. If you want to follow along your Bible, you may turn from the book of Exodus to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 is where we're going to start. Sometimes it's interesting to study the Bible in reverse. And tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start with Revelation chapter 3 and then move backwards as far as the New Testament is concerned as we look at some passages which talk about remembering things. In Revelation 3, we read about the church which was located at Sardis, one of the seven churches of Asia. And John, as he talked to this congregation on behalf of the Lord, he said that the church at Sardis, the people that were members of this congregation, they needed to do some remembering. If you were to look at Revelation 3 verse 1, you would find that this congregation, John says, had a good reputation. There are people who were familiar with this congregation. There were people who talked, they spoke about this congregation. And there were people who had good things to say about the church at Sardis. But God said through John, all the talk, the reputation that you have is really a name only. Because if we look closely, if we look carefully at what's taking place in Sardis, God said to this congregation, you're on life support. Basically, you're dead. Really, the only thing that you have left is a name based on what you've done from the past. Now, if you find Revelation chapter 3, let's look at that third verse. How's it begin? Your translation probably has that word remember. God said to this church, I want you to remember. You remember, therefore, how thou hast received and didst hear and keep it and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, the Lord said, I'm going to come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. God said to this congregation, you need to remember. You need in your mind to go back and you need to recall some of the things that you knew in the past. This is perhaps one of the most important messages for the church in our day and time. God's people need to be called back to remembering the things they first taught. But if you look at the brotherhood today in America as a whole, it is sad, and we've had some recent visitors that have made this point to me and some others, as they travel to and fro, north, south, east, and west in the United States, they make it clear, people that are crisscrossing the country for various reasons, that we have an increasing number of congregations that are not willing to do the very thing that we find in Revelation 3 verse 3. They're not willing to remember the things that they were taught. They're not willing to remember those basic things about the gospel. Remember how to become a Christian. Remember what the Bible says about the church. Remember what the Bible says about worship. Remember what the Bible says about the kingdom. Remember what the Bible says about deity. Remember all those fundamental things. If you were, and this is painting things in a very broad way, broad brush, if you will, but still there's a great deal of truth in it. If you were to look at our brotherhood today, there are a growing number of congregations that say many of our congregations that we would, I think, consider sound. They would say these groups are stuck in the 20th century, and it's time to get out of the 20th century mindset, no longer preach like we did in the 70s and 80s, maybe even in the 90s. Now it's time to update things. We have better educated and we have more enlightened preachers, and now we need to start changing some things as far as what is being taught. Some would go so far as to say the preachers of yesterday, they simply were not with it. But the people filling the pulpits today, they now know what needs to be taught. And those doctrinal sermons, those things that were the basic fundamentals of the faith, we can scrap those sermon outlines and we need to move on to new and different things. God says, Revelation 3, verse 3, you remember. You go back and you recall, you think about, you keep before you those basic fundamental reasons for the faith. And then God gives a reason. The reason's not so much shared here in Revelation 3, verse 3. It's found in a different book, Hebrews 2, verse 1. You may remember that in Hebrews 2, verse 1, the writer said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest what? We drift, lest we slip away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and then he continues on with a thought, but it's possible to slip. It's possible to drift, and people oftentimes don't realize they're slipping. They may not realize how far they're drifting until they finally look up and see just how far they've gone. But God says, remember. Backing up from Revelation chapter 3 to the preceding book, we have the book of Jude. Now, Jude's an interesting book for a lot of reasons, in part because it is so brief. Now, you would think in a brief book like this, Jude would have carefully chosen every word. And that's true of every Bible book, but especially if you're writing such a short letter. Do you know that Jude, as he talked to people in this short letter, he used the word remember. He's going to use that word in verse 17. And Jude says there, I want you to remember. I want you to recall. I want you to meditate on the words which were spoken by the apostles. Now, before Jude gets to that information in verse 17, he talks about apostasy and apostates. In this life, we know that we're probably not going to fare very well if we fail to remember some things. We realize, I think from the secular realm, that if we can't remember the basic things of life, if we can't remember where our keys are, if we can't remember where our car is, where we park it, if we can't remember where we live, we're going to have some problems. In fact, in the secular realm, if our minds become diminished to the point where we really can't remember the basics of life, we're probably going to be put in some kind of special facility so somebody can care for us. They're going to perhaps lock us down because we're just not safe. We might wander under a roadway. We might wander into a place that is dangerous, and we just don't know any better. Well, if that's important in the secular realm to remember, guess what? It is far more important to remember in the spiritual realm. God says this is not only important, God says to us this is essential. If we fail to remember, we will have some problems. Hell will likely be our eternal home instead of heaven. So here's what Jude says in verse 17. But ye beloved, remember, there's that word again. You remember, you keep before you what? The words. Words from whom? Words which have been spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's all this remembering stuff, Jude? He goes on to explain in verse 18. What did the apostles say needed to be remembered? Verse 17. Verse 18 gives the answer. That they said to you, in the last time, there shall be mockers walking after their own ungodly lusts. God's people need to remember that they are not with the majority. We, as we go through our daily lives, whether it's home, whether it's work, whether it's school, whatever it is, maybe retirement, we need to remember who we are. We need to remember that we're on a road that most of the other people in life are not going to take. We may be the only New Testament Christian in our school. We may be the only New Testament Christian in our workplace. We might be the only New Testament Christian in our neighborhood. And God says, you remember. You remember that there are going to be people who are mockers. You need to remember that there are going to be people who are going to live lives which are radically different, drastically different than you need to live. That's not always an easy way to live. And God says, you need to remember your choice. Every day when you get up, every day as you go through life, when you go to bed, you need to remember, you need to recall, to keep before you that you have committed to Jesus Christ, and there may be some people who mock you, maybe some friends, but you remember who, and you remember what you are. As you look at the book of Jude, you find that in many passages it has verses which are very similar to some things that Peter wrote. If you were to flip back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 3, you would find some information which is very, very similar to what I read from Jude 17. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says basically the same thing, but instead of referring to the apostles, he refers to the holy prophets. He said, you need to remember what those holy prophets said. And then he says, the remembrance that I'm talking about, it also includes what Jesus taught. And that remembrance that you need to keep before you, it also includes what the apostles taught. Now some would say, well, I can remember a lot of stuff. And when it comes to the Bible, I can remember a lot of the things that I've read and what I've heard, maybe in classes, sermons, and so forth. Well, there's more to it than that. You see, when we talk about remembering things from the Bible, there needs to be that mental recall. But the Bible, as it talks about remembrance, turning now back towards the New Testament just a little bit more, looking for the book of Hebrews, the final chapter in the book, Hebrews chapter 13, we have here again the idea of remembrance. We're going to pull two passages out from Hebrews 13. And we learn from the 13th chapter of Hebrews that this remembering also involves doing. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, the writer talks about some people the original readers knew. And he says, these people that I'm talking about, they were teachers for you. Not only were they teachers, they were people who also had the rule over you. Very likely they were elders. The Hebrew writer connected the idea of remembering these teachers with something else. And let's see what that was. Hebrews 13, verse 7. The passage starts out with that word remember again. He says, remember them that had the rule over you. Men that spake unto you the word of God, and considering the issue of their life, here it is. You imitate their faith. We need to remember the first part of Hebrews 13, verse 7. And then there's almost an invisible line that goes at the end of the verse. You remember, what does that mean? Your remembrance means that you imitate their faith. That is, this remembrance is not just a mental thing. As I was thinking about Hebrews 13, 7, I was reminded of one of the shows that I really enjoyed growing up. Few of the people who are here tonight will remember Gomer Pyle, USMC. I liked that show. Gomer was a foul-up. Gomer was somebody who should have been somewhere else besides the military, because Gomer and military life, I mean, it was just like mixing a cat and dog that don't get along. And there was one episode where Gomer had become a new enlistee in the Marine Corps. And his sergeant, Sergeant Carter, was fooled. He thought that he came to believe that Gomer was the son of an officer, and Gomer was testing him. So to make sure that Gomer was going to pass the test, Sergeant Carter picks up one of Gomer's boots and shines it. And I mean shines it well. Well, why did Sergeant Carter shine Gomer's boot? Sergeant Carter shined that boot and shined it up so well to give Gomer an example. Now, if you watched that show, or if you didn't watch that show, just imagine that here's Gomer. He hands over the boot. The sergeant shines up the boot, hands it back. And then Gomer should have taken his unshined boot and shined it himself. But that's not what Gomer did. Gomer took that unshined boot and handed it over to Sergeant Carter. Oh, you did. Now, he didn't say this, but that was the implication. Oh, you did such a great job with that one. Here's another one. And Sergeant Carter, of course, because he wanted Gomer to pass the inspection, he picked it up and shined it for him as well. Gomer was content to let his sergeant go on polishing his footwear in that episode and presumably forever. And as I reflect back on that episode, I'm thinking that there are some people who look at the Christian life in the very same way. As long as somebody else is willing to do the work, there are some people who are willing to content to sit by and let that happen and maybe say thanks. But you know, in Hebrews 13, verse 7, that's not what we find. Oh, you remember how to polish the boot, but you imitate their faith. God says it's not enough to see somebody polish the boot and then you just pass the other one off. God says don't do that. He says you've been given an example. You've been shown how to live. So now, because you have an illustration for how to polish the boot, you pick up the boots from this point on. And now it's your responsibility to apply what you remember. Part of true remembering means being willing to do what's right. And maybe that was part of the problem at Sardis. This congregation still had that knowledge of what was right. They could still mentally recall what was right. They had that reputation. But God says, now you need to act on what you know. That mental recollection is simply not enough. Now, this idea is so important. This not only found in Hebrews 13, verse 7. If you back up a little bit, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, you find the very same thing. Remember, there's that word again. You remember them that are in bonds, we might say in jail, as bound with them that are ill-treated as being yourselves also in the body. Now, when the Hebrew writer says you remember the people in prison, what does he mean? Does he mean you just think about them maybe once a month or once a week and you say, well, I sure hope things work out okay? That's not what he meant. When he said remember these fellows, he meant you try to help them, try to assist them. In this day and time, people would not typically have had things like clothing and food and medical attention brought to them by the jailer, and they needed outside people to provide these things. So the Hebrew writer says, you remember them, you provide for them, you assist them, just like we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Someone says, well, you know, okay, I get that, but I need some help. I need some motivation for not only recalling what's right, but for acting on that information. Well, there's a verse that should motivate us, and this is found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Now, I'm not going to read this passage, but if you want to turn over there, this is what you'll find. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And Paul also, in 2 Timothy 2:8, uses this word, remember. He says, I want you to remember. I want you to recall the fact that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Well, now, why would Paul connect Jesus' resurrection with the idea of remembering something? One of the tools that helps us today to avoid some bad consequences is memory. For example, if we know that there's going to be a consequence that's bad or severe, a consequence that is undesirable, that will often prompt us to remember something. If, for example, we know that we're going to be billed for a missed doctor's appointment, that generally in doctors will use that, physicians will use that to as a tool to help people remember their doctor appointment. If we fail to show up for work or school, there's probably going to be a consequence. The lack of remembrance is probably going to create a set of circumstances that we really don't want to experience. Well, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, the faith that we've chosen to follow is headed by someone who was once dead. But this once dead person is now alive forevermore. And this one, Jesus, who is now alive forevermore, he's going to one day judge the world. And Paul says, you remember Christ. You remember that he's been raised from the dead. You remember him, and by implication you do what he said, because if you don't, he's going to remember you. And he's going to remember you in a negative way. He's going to remember you as a foe instead of a friend. If we want to truly remember Christ, yes, we need that mental information about him. But we also need to make sure that we try to apply that information. And yet, and I was reminded of this as Jeff was going through his prayer tonight. As we think about remembering Christ, remembering who we are, we live in a culture, and it is sad beyond words, where people remember their spiritual life. Maybe once a week, maybe a few times a year, or maybe just once a year. We can all name some people who dress up, come out to services once a week, maybe a few times a year, and they remember their faith. Yesterday, Teresa and I were invited to a gathering, the first of what they described as an annual gathering. We really didn't know what to expect. And it was a neighborhood gathering. And several of the people that said they were going to come to this gathering, we've heard them profess on a number of occasions that they're Christians. Not in the sense of the New Testament, but they belong to some religious denomination in town, and they regard themselves as a child of God. Teresa and I got there a little early. And as people began filtering in, one of the questions that I heard from several people who claim to be Christians, they publicly have made that confession, is, where's the beer? And if it wasn't, where's the beer, I've brought the beer cooler. Oh, we're not going to bring the hard stuff. We're Christians. But we are going to make sure that we have plenty of beer. And as that gathering progressed, I heard some language. Some bad language. Some foul words from people who profess to be followers of Christ. And I left that gathering, not really in a judgmental spirit, but just, I guess I would say, making a factual assessment that here are some people, I know what they've professed. I know what they're doing when we pull out Sunday for class. They're not headed in the same direction. Either physically, they're not going to their religious group, or spiritually. You see, when we look at Christianity in the Bible, true remembering is not just remembering Christ, you know, when Sunday comes and forgetting him the other 6 days of the week. Our memory of Christ is something that needs to be just not a part of us, which is how a lot of people see Christianity. Let's just have a little bit here. It needs to be who we are. It needs to be woven in and throughout the fabric of our entire being. We need to be people who are absolutely committed to Jesus Christ in every way because we have immersed ourselves. We're trying to keep ourselves soaked, if you will, in the Word of God. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, once again we have this idea of remembering. Paul told these Christians as he wrote to them, I want you to remember. I want you to think back to the time that we were with you. I want you, Paul said, to remember how we work with you not only night, but we were working night and day as we were at Thessalonica. You see, that passage reminds us that as we try to remember God mentally as well as physically, we're going to work as hard, as diligently, we're going to give him the best that we can. We're going to do that readily, and we're going to do this willingly. We do this because of who we are. But you know, from our next reference, Ephesians chapter 2, we also seek to remember God mentally and in our acts because of who we were. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul, as he wrote to these people who had been Gentiles, they were not part of the Jewish nation, he reminded them. He said, I want you to remember who you were. I want you to remember that you were without hope. I want you to remember that you were outside of Christ. I want you to know that you didn't have any relationship with God. There was no relationship that you had with him. Here's how he phrases it, the exact text. Ephesians 2, starting with verse 11. Wherefore, the conclusion, he says, I want you to remember. You recall how that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made with hands. Verse 12. That ye were at that time, you were separate from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise. You had no hope, and you were without God in the world. You see, the fact that Jesus came, the fact that Christ now offers salvation, should be one of the incentives that we have to remember what's right. And that means doing what's right. Paul said Jesus has saved us from our sins. Like the Ephesians, prior to Jesus coming, we would have had no hope. Our sins would have, and for a time, did separate us from light, life, and salvation. We didn't deserve the kind of kindness that God has wrought upon us. But now, Ephesians 2:13. If we are in Christ, in the Lord, we've been benefited, we've been blessed by the blood of Christ, we need to remember who we are and who we were. And remembering what Christ has done for us should stimulate us, just like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, that Christ has been raised from the dead, and one day he's going to judge us. Because of what God has done for us, Ephesians 2, the Bible says we have some responsibilities. We need to remember the poor. Backing up a little bit more, Galatians 2, verse 10. And then as we think about remembering, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul, as he looked at the Corinthians, he said, I want you to know, you have remembered me in all things. And for Paul, that meant a lot. Here were some Christians who were thinking about the Apostle Paul. And Paul said to these brethren, this is meaningful to me. But you know, Paul said, this is not everything that's involved with your memory. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2 also says, you hold fast the traditions. That is a way of describing the inspired information given to the Corinthians. He said, you hold fast. You remember this information. Why? Because it's what you need to go to heaven. It is what you need to guide your life. James teaches us that faith without works is dead. Well-established principle, something that we all know. But you know, the Bible tonight also teaches, by implication as we've looked at, remembrance or recall without putting that information into practice is also dead. And maybe one of the greatest examples of this in all the Bible is found in our last reference, Luke chapter 16. This is the place where the Bible talks about two men. There is the rich man and there is Lazarus. The Lord said that both of these men died. Each man went to the place called Hades, the place for the disembodied spirits, the place where everybody goes after death. There's a side for the righteous in Hades. There's a side for the unrighteous. Do you remember how from this account, Luke 16, verse 25, Abraham said to the rich man, I want you to remember. There's that word again. Abraham told the wealthy man that he needed to remember, he needed to recall, he needed to think back to the great things that he had in this life. And that man did have some things that he could remember. He could remember that fine food that he had every day. Probably didn't ever eat it, something like McDonald's. He had good food every day. And he was able, surely, to remember the fine, wonderful, expensive clothing that he'd worn throughout his time on the earth. This man had some great memories when it came to pleasure that he'd enjoyed on the earth. But what about his memories concerning righteousness? What were the memories of him taking the information that he surely knew and failed to apply it? He had a life which, in some respects, was likely faith without works. And when it came to the spiritual part of this man's life, when it came to putting that remembrance, that knowledge into practice, he came up with a big fat zero. In our day and time, we have people who can remember and do remember so many things. I'm amazed that there are young people who can remember passwords to 100 plus sites on the internet. Go to this site and I remember what my password is. You might talk to a person who can remember sports statistics, maybe for the last 20, 30, 40 years, and maybe for multiple teams. Have no difficulty with that. Or it might be a cook. She remembers all the recipes in a Rolodex. I can remember the last time I made it. I can remember the ingredients. I can remember the setting on the oven and all those things. How sad, though, to go through life with so much head knowledge about things related to secular items and not have that knowledge that we need for eternal life locked, ingrained, sealed in our minds. And then, even if it's there, failing to follow it on a regular day, daily and on a regular or daily basis. As we look at our life, two questions. Are we trying to remember what's in God's Word? If not, we have a problem. And then, are we not only trying to put that information into our minds every single day, are we trying to remember it in the sense that we're trying to apply it? That's Christianity in a nutshell. Learn what's right. Immerse yourself in what's right. And then practice it. If we're not trying to do those two things, there's a real good chance that we're not on the road to heaven. But God is grateful, or God is gracious, and we should be grateful for that. And tonight He gives us a chance to change that. If we're a person who's like Ephesians 2, we have no hope because we're not in Christ. We can understand. We can come to an agreement based on God's word as far as what's required. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism. And once we've done those things, we need to remember those items because they're part of God's plan. And then after we obey His plan for salvation, we remember the other things that we learn about His word, and we seek to do those on a regular basis. Remembering God and His word. How are we doing? If our answer to that question is not well or not at all, and tonight you want to fix things, we stand ready to study with you, encourage you, pray with you, do whatever is necessary to help you be on the right path. Let's remember God tonight, tomorrow, every day, as we live Him for Him as a Christian. If we can help you tonight, though, will you let us know about that need as we stand and sing the selected song?